6. Now about 8 days after these sayings, Jesus took with him Peter and John and James and went up on the mountain to pray. And while he was praying, the appearance of his face changed, and his clothes became as bright as a flash of lightning. Suddenly they saw two men, Moses and Elijah, talking to him. They appeared in glory and were speaking about his exodus, which he was about to fulfill in Jerusalem. Now Peter and his companions were weighed down with sleep, but as they awoke, they saw his glory and the two men who stood with him. Just as they were leaving him, Peter said to Jesus, "Master, it is good for us to be here. Let us set up three tents, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah," not realizing what he was saying. While he was saying this, a cloud came and overshadowed them, and they were terrified as they entered the cloud. Then from the cloud came a voice that said, "This is my Son, my chosen. Listen to him." When the voice had spoken, Jesus was found alone. And they kept silent, and in those days told no one any of the things they had seen. We're going to invite Jesus into our listening to the Word right now with Voices United. Next Sunday is Transfiguration Sunday. It is the day in the church calendar when we read about a strange and wonderful event in the lives of Jesus and the disciples. I chose the version of the story that Luke tells. I liked one particular detail that he includes, which I'll talk about later. These 9 descriptive verses are found smack dab in the middle of Luke chapter 9. A lot is going on in Jesus' ministry in Luke 9. So people are starting to wonder who this miracle worker is. Even King Herod is concerned. Some people are saying that Jesus is actually John the Baptist come back to life, which really freaks out Herod because he had John the Baptist beheaded. There are a lot of ideas about who Jesus is. Some say John the Baptist, others Elijah, and still others that one of the ancient prophets has arisen. Jesus is stirring things up. Earlier in Luke 9, Peter made his famous declaration that Jesus is the Messiah. And there's a lot of evidence for this. People are being fed, healed, cleansed of evil spirits. It is quite the roadshow. But Jesus also keeps talking about terrible events to come. It's not all power and glory. There will be suffering as well. The disciples don't want to hear that. They are expecting a different Messiah. So Jesus takes them away for a while up on a mountain to teach them who he really is and what that will mean for them. There are a lot of mountains mentioned in the Bible, and they are always places where important things happen. There is Mount Ararat, where the Ark came to rest, Mount Sinai, where Moses received the 10 Commandments, Mount Zion, where Jerusalem is built, the Mount of Olives, where Jesus prayed the night he was betrayed, and Mount Tabor, where today's story happens. Mount Tabor is a round mountain rising suddenly from the surrounding plains. It has quite the view. I couldn't find any word on whether it produced really good corn as well. So there they are on Mount Tabor. Time passes. The disciples fall asleep. Then Jesus suddenly changes. He becomes suffused with light, bright as lightning. If there was any doubt before that he was someone special, this light would have laid that doubt to rest. Later in the Bible, the Apostle Paul would be blinded by this light. The only thing that may have saved the disciples from a similar fate was that they had their eyes closed, both figuratively and physically. They were weighed down by sleep. When the light wakes them up, they see two of the most famous characters from the Hebrew Scriptures, Moses and Elijah. And they are just having a chat with Jesus about How are things going in your part of the God story, Jesus? The past and the present, heaven and earth, spirit and matter come together in one place, and Jesus is right there in the middle of it all. Peter, and I'm sure the other disciples too, spring into action. They offered to build Sukkot for Moses and Elijah and Jesus. These temporary shelters called Sukkot are small dwellings with walls of wood or brick and a roof made of branches or large leaves. Every time in the Bible when God keeps a promise, the people build Sukkot to dwell in that experience for a period of time. Jacob comes home to his family. He builds Sukkot. The Israelites come out of Egypt. They build Sukkot. Whenever they feel particularly close to the holy, they want to hunker down in that holy moment and hold on to it for a while. But God had a different idea. God didn't want them to hold on to the past or even hold on to the present, to this amazing experience. God covered everything with a cloud, putting an end to the disciples' plans. The cloud was confusing and disorienting, even terrifying. The disciples had to stop what they were doing and pay attention. Then out of this cloud comes a voice saying, "This is my son, my chosen, listen to him." If the bright light, the appearance of long dead prophets, and the sudden appearance of a cloud doesn't convince the disciples, then perhaps a voice booming out of a cloud will. Something new is happening here. Forget about Moses and Elijah. This is my son. Follow him. Don't settle down in one place, holding on to the glorious past. Get up, get moving, and follow my son. So what can we take from this story? This vision, this revelation. Number one, wake up. If you are following Jesus, whether it's up a mountain or down the streets of your hometown, you need to keep alert. You never know where the new thing that Jesus is doing is going to spring up. Isaiah 43:19 says, "I am about to do a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? I will make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert." God loves surprising us. Keep your eyes open for the next surprise in your life. Number two, don't look back. It was tempting for Peter, James, and John to want to go back to the times of Moses and Elijah. But God says, no, the time of Moses, the lawgiver, is past. The time of Elijah, the finger-wagging preacher, is past. The time of God's Son has come. The Son who will ask God to send the Holy Spirit, the Spirit who will write God's laws on their hearts. Not God on a mountaintop thundering from a lightning storm, not God now and then in the words of a fiery prophet, but God with us. Emmanuel, God in our hearts, filling us with love. God in our hearts, filling us with courage, the love that makes us want to live God's way, and the courage that gives us the power to live God's way. God was with Israel in the past, and God is with us now in the present. And God will be with us in the future. That's where we have to look. That's where we have to go. That's where we have to follow. God is moving us forward. And it's not easy. We all know what that's like after 3 years of living through COVID. We all wanted to go back to just the way things were. But there's no going back. We just have to go forward. Life can be difficult. Life can be disappointing. Life can be confusing. Sometimes it's like walking through a cloud. It requires courage and it requires faith. But the presence of the Son of God makes all the difference. We can hear his voice. We can feel his presence. We can follow him. I think Jesus walked in the fog too. Otherwise, how would we know that he knew what he was asking of his disciples? Is that surprising to you? It was to me. Jesus walked by faith. He kept walking from place to place, trusting that his heavenly Father would be with him all the way. He trusted God all the way to Jerusalem and all the way to the cross. He trusted that God could conquer even death if he would just follow God's way of self-giving love and forgiveness. And God did conquer death. Jesus is alive. He was alive then, he is alive now, and his presence will be with us now and always. We are not alone. Thanks be to God. Let's just take a moment for reflection.